Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
All right then,
we're off. Morning, morning, morning.
This is Running Commentary. I'm Paul Tonkinson.
I'm Rob Deering.
Hi.
Hello, Matt. Hi.
Genuine confusion for months. As we're back on Hackney Marshes, which is notably less green than last time we were here because the incredible summer. And there's three beautiful young people meditating over on our right.
Yes. Yeah. We've got to be careful with those.
They are shaming us.
And busy, but maybe not quite as busy as the last time we were here. Maybe more people back at work.
I also think I've noticed that there is a real line mid-morning when people just appear.
Right.
I find that it's not early, don't get us wrong.
No.
The old thing, you guys, particularly people who live by the sea, people keep sending us pictures of the ocean at dawn.
Beautiful.
And we're like, there's two reasons we can't see that. One, we're not by the sea, and two, our eyelids.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's 10 o'clock on the marshes, and I reckon by 11.
It'll be getting busy, definitely, yes.
And there's a light breeze. I thought it might be hotter than this. But
there is a light breeze. We've been really lucky, haven't we, this week? It's been another...
absolute stunner.
Real scorcher.
Yeah. Our garden is amazing. It's so funny. I don't think you remember weeks ago, I cut all the ivy away.
Right.
And it was classic non-gardener... it's needed doing for years.
Yeah.
I'll just do a little bit.
Right.
And once I got started, of course, you know, I was like, oh, that was a bad bit, that's a bad bit, that's a bit. I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Gave the gardener...
there's nothing left.
Exactly. Yeah. I gave the gardener a brutal haircut. I think it was appropriate. Yeah. But it was scary for a minute. Yeah, but it gave us loads of light and space.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I've been vindicated by all the new growth, the green leaves.
Nice.
And we're... out there all the time.
Yeah. No, it's been lovely.
And here.
I'm talking about my sprucing things down. I got a retouch on my hair from my mate on over the weekend. Now he started cutting my hair, he can't stop doing it.
Oh, same thing.
He sees little things that aren't quite right.
See, I noticed that. I thought your hair looked good.
Yeah, I've just had a little touch.
It hasn't grown much in the week.
Yeah.
I also cut my hair. What do you think?
It looks good, mate. Yeah. It's tidy, yeah.
Still quite a big quiff.
I must say, I really enjoyed it when my mate cut my hair.
Yeah.
I think it was just the sort of...
human touch?
Yeah, no, it actually was.
Yeah.
It was just something really, really... and he obviously really enjoyed it as well because he really went for it.
Yeah.
And it was just... I almost cried, such was the comfort of someone fondling my scalp.
Right.
It was nice, man.
Fondling and scalp aren't two words you often hear together in a sentence, are they?
Yeah. It was beautiful.
And how has your running week been?
It's been okay, actually. I've had a few days off the old source.
Very good.
Which is nice.
How many days? When did you last?
Oh, Friday. We had some mates around on Friday, and that was lovely. That was lots of Prosecco. They have a few kids jumping up and down on the trampoline.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just really good fun.
I know it's good that you stopped and everything, but I also think we're all enjoying your seasonal shift to it's Prosecco.
Yes.
It's like you've changed your seasonal plumage.
But it's quite a sugary hit, though, if you do too much of that, because I tend to mix it with orange juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, is nice, but sugar.
Yeah.
You've just really... Yeah, it's a bit of a sugar high.
Yeah. Well, me
but
and
nice in the sun.
Julia last week had some had a bottle of Prosecco in.
Right.
And I'm not a big fan.
Right.
And it turned out we had everything for French 75s. And you ready? Here comes.
Go on, then.
Another Deering's cocktail recipes. French 75s, right? You take the juice of a lemon.
Yeah.
Two shots of gin.
Nice, like it.
Ideally, sugar syrup. Two little scooches of sugar syrup, but you could do it with a spoonful of sugar. You just really have to shake it in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's all going to go down the bottom. And then you shake that really hard over ice. So you kind of shake it up so you get crushed up ice in it.
Right.
And then, when you pour it out, you just top it up to the top with Prosecco.
Sounds great.
It's really good.
Sounds lovely, yeah.
And this is entirely my invention. I was serving that up with just a strawberry on the edge of the glass to dip.
That's very ornate, very nice.
And but like you say, after a day or two of those, you start to think, wait a minute, I think my teeth are falling out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice, but there's a cost, yeah. But much less of a hangover than red wine. Especially in the sun as well, it just feels more suitable.
But then you stop drinking.
Yeah, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so...
I stopped drinking. I haven't had a drink since the beginning of June.
Right. Yeah, I know. Oh, and here we are, June the 2nd.
Late morning, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. The big sacrifices.
Taking each day as it comes.
But I had I suppose the big running story is I went on a longish Sunday run.
Yeah.
With...
How far?
About 11 and a half miles.
Yeah, good.
With friend of the show, Baz.
Oh, Baz!
Baz Taylor. Round Epping Forest on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Which was gorgeous, actually. Yeah.
Hey, look. Sorry, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we said about these poppies?
Yeah.
Didn't realise then they were just beginning. Look at these.
Yeah, they're out.
Got to get some photos. That's
really
gorgeous.
Are. They're beautiful, yeah.
So the grass here on Hackney Marshes is getting a bit... I mean, it's lovely. It's summery, but it's sort of classic. It looks like the 70s, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit scarred, isn't it?
A little bit beige. Dying off. But these poppies are intense. I mean, they're hardy, aren't they, poppies? That's the point. They just kind of grow in. But when we came past here the other day, there was like three.
Yeah.
And
no, they've really come out, haven't they?
Gorgeous. And if I get these ones, I get that lovely wheelie bin in the background.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone waters them. I don't. It looks. It's just wild stuff, isn't it? I can't imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone
they do quite a lot of gardening here, but I don't think they do anything to this lot. But then once you let it become meadow like this,
yeah,
it looks after itself.
Yeah, very nice.
He says, knowing nothing of gardening, nothing. Sorry.
It's all right.
Well, listen, we had a little recording break there because I'd pulled my plug out.
Yeah.
But I was taking the photos of poppies anyway. They're really lovely and they've grown in. And I did the recipe for French 75.
Yes.
If you've missed that, get in touch. I'll tell you next week.
That'll be running commentary extras. Yeah, and they... we just had a little...
We might have lost this. Well... If we lose me, we lose you. Paul went to Epping Forest with Baz for a long run on Sunday.
Yeah, which I haven't done for ages, really. I mean, it wasn't long, but it was like about 11 and a half, which was nice.
Yeah.
And it was solid and quite hilly. And it's just really nice here because it's sunny, but there's a lot of cover.
Yeah.
Just soft enough under your feet to be comforting, but not too soft to be exhausting.
Yeah, lovely.
Just really, really nice, actually.
Excellent.
Really nice.
And how's
little
Baz?
Trip out. He's good. He's just been working his way through it, you know. He's he works on the old trains and he's been just working it through.
It's funny how work...
Are we going this way?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry.
How work, what your job is, really defines what the last few weeks has been like for you.
Yes, yeah. A lot of people have just been working through. I mean, slightly less busy, but nevertheless.
Also, in the longer game, I think there's been a certain... it's been easier for... us and people like us, like my wife, whose job's kind of stopped on a dime.
Yes, yeah, maybe.
Than it has been for people whose jobs kind of faded away over 3 weeks, you know.
Yeah, but then you've got the population who still been furloughed and they're sort of waiting to lose their jobs almost.
Yeah, and specifically not allowed to work, which is really weird.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a
strange time to renew a mortgage, but I did it.
Yeah. The stuff of life sort of continuing to limp on.
Yeah.
Opening up a bit. Did schools open near you?
Well, no, because the school did all they could.
Right.
I mean, it's different in secondary school anyway, right? Because the main deal for going back to school is for little kids.
Yeah.
But secondary schools are part of that, and they're sort of saying there'll be teacher consultations between for certain years and key workers and blah, blah, blah. But the way they emailed, they said, this is what might happen at the beginning of June. We don't know if it's going to happen, but we have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
And they emailed us about that. And they emailed us about that. And then, so it's all basically preparing for something that's unconfirmed.
Yes, yeah.
And they said, we'll let you know at the end of half term, which was last Friday, what's going to happen. And they didn't.
Right.
Because the people in charge didn't tell them what to do.
Right.
So, you know, it's pretty rubbish, really. But day to day, no, nothing's changed for the kids. They're still homeschooling. But it's great. You know, the teachers are efficient. They give them lessons which are either passable or actually good.
Right.
The kids learn, you know, do their lessons when they would be.
Yeah.
And it's totally interactive. You know, they do the work, they submit it, the teachers get back to them.
That sounds great.
And they do fun extracurricular things. They get sent messages saying, that was really good. You know, it's not dry.
Yeah.
It's not just a list of info. It's like school.
That sounds good.
And they do, of course, it's back to the whole thing about how lucky we are with the tech we've got, you know.
Yeah.
Because they all do this with kind of sidebars of chat with their mates. And it's nice to realise that there are other students doing this stuff as well.
Yes, yeah.
And they get to interact and everything. It's not everyone. And of course, the school has to be geared up for the people who aren't keeping up with all that.
Yeah.
But it's good. I think it's the kind of quiet success is the kids who are, you know, being educated and doing all right with it.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter did say she had a friend who basically didn't do any work for the first month, and had told their parents that no, there wasn't any.
Right, yeah.
But then
there's obviously a bit of that going on.
They did, but then I suppose it's sort of a happy ending, except for that kid, because they totally got found out.
Right.
And had to do 1 month schoolwork in eight hours.
In a couple of weeks or something.
So, you know, they're trying to chase it and keep it going. And in terms of day-to-day existence, it works, you know, and there's still, you know, obviously, like you say, things are changing. We adjusted my wife's bike so my daughter could use it.
Right.
She went out for socially distanced picnics with friends.
Yeah.
Both days at the weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, that certainly has value, doesn't it? She came back and it was like a cloud had lifted.
Of course it is, yeah.
Because,
of course,
whisper it, she's sick of us.
Yeah, of course.
And that's
her
prerogative. We're idiots.
They should be with the mates. They want to be with the mates. Exactly.
Well, you say they.
Well, the kids.
My son doesn't.
Is he not? But
he
plays
chess with one friend remotely.
Right, okay.
Once every 3 weeks, that'll do him.
Yeah, it's...
But then he's part cat.
Yeah. There's many things we've learnt during this lockdown.
I accepted a proper live-streamed gig via Zoom a couple of days ago. I've avoided them all the way through, but I've got a kind of, talking of being furloughed and stuff, I've got a little raft of kind of post-lockdown comedy work this month.
Oh, that sounds good.
And, you know, you've got to say yes to things, haven't you?
So what gig is that then? What you?
It's for Jala Thregan.
Right.
And it's money for a gig.
Yeah.
On a Friday night.
And where? What? And you do that in your room?
Yeah, I'll set myself up at home.
Right.
And Zoom it in.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it raises some technical questions, but I can fix those.
Yeah.
It's more the fact that I've always... I'm uncomfortable with Zoom
Yeah.
Just chatting one-to-one with one person for no good reason. Yeah. So, let alone socials, let alone comedy.
It'll be quite... Yeah, you'll just have to go for that, won't you? 20 minutes.
Well, I thought basically I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Just to see if I can get over myself or whether I was right and I don't want to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a test.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit like running here without headphones today.
Yeah.
Because, well, that's another story. But
what happened?
Well, I just did, my headphones are broken.
Right.
But
your headphones are broken?
Yes! Oh, but that's the end of it, a fun story. Anyway, you know, it's good to do it every now and again. Because simultaneously I find out that I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm better with headphones.
Yeah.
And secondly, that it's okay. I can
you
run
can do
it if
yeah.
I have to. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Isn't Zoom... Zoom's meant to be more exhausting than normal. Obviously more exhausting than normal chat, isn't it? Because you haven't got the non-verbal cues to pick up on.
That's
so the
right.
concentration needed for Zoom is pretty exhausting, I fancy.
Yeah, I've been trying to pin down what I don't like about it. I think when it comes down to it, I don't know how much we talked about this the other day, I think I realised that I'm not really comfortable in just a group of people like other people are. It's like it's all backwards, you know?
Yeah.
I think you're the person on the Clapham Omnibus, it would say like, oh, the idea of standing up in front of a group of people and talking to all of them is terrifying.
Yeah.
And the idea of sitting down with half a dozen of my mates and just shooting the breeze sounds like coming home.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would just flip that.
Yeah.
Room full of people is like coming home. And shooting the breeze with a bunch of mates with no agenda is something totally happy to do, but generally get a bit heightened, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit kind of, you particularly wanna... now I'm a grown-up, see, in the old days I would have just shown off.
Right.
Successfully or badly. It's all about, oh, look at me, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's why we end up comedians, right?
So you're prepared to sit down with mates if they give you a bit of money?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I still want to enjoy
of
it.
Door split, yeah.
Yeah, like a kind of a socially uncomfortable hooker. Look at these dog daisies. Giant daisies.
The daisies. They're gorgeous, aren't they?
Really, really gorgeous. Although I did have a nightmare about insects and spiders yesterday.
Go on then.
Oh, so that's it.
That's it.
Spiders, they're really big. It was one in my head.
I had a dream. I mean, everyone's having really weird lockdown dreams. I had a dream that my mates were going to my mate's dad's funeral. He died a few years ago, my mate's dad. But his dad was John Cleese.
Right.
Which
in
is rather
life,
bizarre.
In the dream.
Yeah, in the dream, yeah.
Right.
And I just got really upset by it in the dream. You know, those kind of weepy dreams.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You're working something through.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think I'm working through there? The fact that you didn't do a third series of Fawlty Towers? I mean, what?
Oh,
what is that about?
John, it's the worst James Bond film of all!
Or am I? Am I mourning not doing comedy anymore?
Well, I think you're mourning what's lost, aren't you? What does John Cleese represent? Comedy? The past?
British values?
Britain?
Punctuality?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Rage,
inanimate objects.
Joking about Germans.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was quite a moving one.
Ah, oh, tough. Funnily enough, I dreamt about my dad a couple of nights ago in a really... Sometimes I have quite nice dreams about my dad. And the other day I dreamt he was there and he wasn't very well. It wasn't very nice.
Right.
But it was all right. It's just, again, we're just working stuff through. But the other night... I dreamt I was coming home to a kind of holiday villa kind of place.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad were asleep. It was late. And I was trying to be really quiet. But I just had to move a little bit of recycling.
Really,
because I had a cardboard
quiet.
And paper.
Yeah.
So I just moved this cardboard. Actually, there was a little bit more than... A little bit more cardboard and paper than I wanted. So now I'm outside...
In the shredder.
Yeah, I'm outside my mum and dad's sleeping room. And then in the end, I woke them up and my mum came out and said, oh, you've done really well, you've done nearly all of it. And my dad, just out of sight in his, from his bed, shouted out, shut up!
It's quite nice.
Which I honestly can't remember him ever saying to me in life. Shut up!
Quite a nice one.
Yeah. Ultimately, we dream in kind of sitcoms.
Yeah.
You're dreaming 42 hours, I was dreaming duty free.
But we were chatting about it briefly, pre-record. I've been offered some gigs in Dubai.
Yeah.
And the gigs in Dubai are great, but they're a little bit tricky. And
yeah, you've got to take your A game, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm basically a bit worried that we haven't gigged for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just worried that you're going to... Maybe that was a dream as well. Maybe that was part of it with the Cleese.
Yeah.
You know, just that kind of... If you're not gigging, are you still a comic?
Yeah.
Big question. What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's interesting. I do think that my big insects and spiders dream, though inspired by all the blooming flies and spiders around the place, was definitely about work.
Right.
Because I've got a non-comedy work thing this week. Should be good.
Yeah.
But it's a slightly pressure gig and I'm nervous.
Right.
And
can you talk about what it is sort of vaguely?
Well, it's like I'm doing a webinar.
Right.
About how, what we can learn from stand-up and writing a festival show.
Right.
About, in the wider game, about how to be on stage on your own. And, you know, what we can draw from it, whatever you're doing, whether you're an actor or a storyteller or a lecturer.
How to apply it to other areas, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I'm going to do it on my own for an hour to kind of make the point.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got plenty to say, but like you say, it's not funny, but it's the same principle. It's like, am I going to be able to do that? And as discussed, I'm not comfortable on Zoom. It's going to be a disaster, actually.
In my...
there's a spider on my head. I'm terrified, Paul.
In my limited experience of when I've been employed to sort of do things that aren't specifically comedic, they still want you to be.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But that's, I only say that because that's a mistake I've made.
It's which like, is that
finally, great. Somebody wants me for me,
my
thoughts, my intelligence. And then you just bore people to death for 40 minutes.
Tell us a joke.
And they're just like, literally, tell us a joke.
Yeah.
So it's getting the combo right, isn't it?
Yeah, because, well, it's like our friend Leslie Haynes says, the other thing is when you stop doing comedy and you are funny,
yeah,
people are just amazed. You can talk for 10 minutes about whatever you like.
Yeah.
And then you do one joke, and everyone's like, oh, see, comedian, brilliant. Whereas if you're a comedian, you talk for 10 minutes and do one joke.
That's a really bad
joke. Get off. I always think of when you read about bands.
Yeah.
And they generally say, I think because of the association of stage and microphone and stuff, if a band does like one joke, they say, oh, yeah, so-and-so could have been a comedian.
Yeah, absolutely. So
he or she's got one joke they do to a totally friendly audience.
Yes.
Every night. But anyway, I think that you're...
So you got that. That's good. It's good to do something
different. And I think that we're hitting something here. And again, just talking about it is a bit serious in itself. I do think, you know, I'm quite a serious person.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I've got the tools. Just getting old, going into the lockdown, like you say, in one very real sense, we suddenly just stopped being comedians.
Yes.
So what are we now?
Yes.
And I think a lot of the answer to what are we now is, I'm not really someone who goes for cheap laughs to make people like me anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do, but it's just habit.
Yes.
I don't need it in the same way.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to the other side of this lovely tree. I've lost him. Shook him off.
It's an interesting feeling, because for the first few weekends, I really miss gigging, and sometimes I still do. But you do get used to it, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You know? But it's like...
And that's interesting, actually. Let's take a moment on that, because that's also been a discussion. I think we've been talking online with Charlie Baker and Sarah Millican and other people about that. Is you have to recognise that it's like a chemical spike.
Yes, yeah.
You know, you'd think on paper that it's like, oh, I miss the socials or seeing people or the travel, but it's much more visceral than that.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You notice that first couple of Friday, Saturday, Sundays, you just, your rhythm's all off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why am I suddenly shouting at my family, you know?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like,
and
it's,
then take it through. Let's not go back to Sunday, so we don't need to go revise the Ogden situation.
But it's the endorphin rush, isn't it? And it's also...
Well, it's not just dolphins, you know, it's humans.
Yeah.
It's...
When the dolphins rush the stage, that was always a good moment.
I never go for cheap jokes. Yeah. I'm over that now.
But it was also the intensity of the experience, wasn't it? And the kind of...
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of... Yeah, it fades a little bit. And you realise, this is great, I don't have to leave my family. I can stay here and just have no money instead.
I thought that on... and it's interesting, actually, maybe we're just simpler machines than we imagine. Because I was just thinking about how it ties in with running and drinking.
Right.
And remembering that hangover of Saturday a week ago.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the comfort, the luxury of surviving, you know. I'll buy some biscuits and I'll eat those biscuits. And as long as I watch a Columbo while I'm eating the biscuits, my day will be complete. But the reason that day is complete is because in the evening you get to go and spend 20 minutes showing off and being paid for it.
Yeah.
And that's defining. It means everything else, you can just drift.
But if there's one thing that this has taught us, and it's taught us many things, is that one can quickly devolve into a vegetative state.
Yeah.
And it's not that unpleasant.
Which is why...
Assuming you're not completely destroyed financially.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been some generous handouts given, which we've all enjoyed. It's not that bad.
Yeah. Well, it's that complicated thing, isn't it?
To do out.
I mean, and it's a funny one to talk about, because obviously, you know, it's a... it's a very specific kind of first world problem.
Yeah.
But we were watching, me and my wife have been watching some old Sex and the City.
Right.
Late era.
Yeah.
Carrie Bradshaw's been invited to go to Paris.
Yes, yeah,
with Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Yeah.
And he's like, is she going to have a job there? Is she giving up a job? Is she going to live? When's she going to come back? The ultimate question in both circumstances is, would you be happy if you could just go on holiday forever? It's more complicated than you'd think, because
yeah, I can imagine,
you've got to do something with our days. Yeah. I mean, me and my wife, we do a lot of creating.
Yeah.
You know, and it's on a kind of sliding scale of whether we're being paid to do it or we're just doing it to fill our time. And we certainly couldn't only do the latter. But I also think if we're only doing the former, just doing it for work, we wouldn't be happy. So it's, for me, the ultimate is, as long as you get to be creative, you know?
Yeah.
And that means anything. It doesn't just mean doing a painting or recording a song.
Yeah.
It means, I don't know, getting something done.
Yeah,
getting something made or completed that wasn't made or completed before.
Old Julie, who's... Julie, who's been working really hard. She's one of those.
What's her job?
She's a production secretary for a television company.
Right.
So they've been sort of hustling for business, making the shows they can. Everyone else has been sort of laid off apart from her. She's had to take on three or four people's jobs. You know, it's been really intense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she seems to unwind on a weekend. She gets drunk most nights.
Yeah.
But she seems to unwind most weekends by painting her house.
Right.
She'll do like 8 hours painting.
Yeah, yeah.
She just goes and goes. She says, I find it really relaxing.
Yeah.
It makes her house look cleaner. I've done something. She puts on music and she just just paints.
And does she?
She's lunatic, isn't she?
Does she drink and paint?
No, she doesn't, though.
You see, because when I did that Ivy, it was just drinking gardening.
So all right, okay.
One of my best things I've ever discovered.
Nice. Drunk gardening!
But I am going to take a break.
It's like a new... It's like the lockdown's equivalent of that show, Get Stuffed. get stuffed. Do you remember those guys? Post,
I do remember
post
that.
Post-pub but I diet. Think
get stuffed. That is a reference to the heart. Get stuffed.
If you don't know what it is, just Google it. Get stuffed.
If you were born after 1980.
Stick your bread in a blender. Get stuffed. Smash your head in the fridge. Get stuffed. Where are they now?
Oh, a little tiny tear for the nostalgia. Get stuffed.
Get stuffed, diddly-ding. Post-pub kind of budget food tips.
Yeah, in the word era.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's a taxidermy shop on the Essex Road called Get Stuffed.
Yeah, I know that one, yeah. But, I like writing when I've got a deadline and I can write, and I really enjoy that. I like having a story to tell.
Yes.
That's what I've realised.
Well, that's the...
I like writing the book, I like writing this sitcom. I really enjoy that, but once it's gone, I can feel pretty empty pretty quickly.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely onto something, and I think that that's been really positively for me, is in turning that sense of a deadline in on myself.
Right.
Has really made this thing work at a kind of creative, psychological, and physical level.
Right.
Because on the one hand, there's that whole, what at the time worried me. It's all completely tied to doing the Manchester and London marathons.
Right.
Because when they went away, I thought, I must maintain this fitness.
Yeah.
And that was the first thought. And of course, you know, I like a really solid, simple plan, ideally involving a couple of numbers.
Yes, yeah, that's
20, right. 20, 20, 30, 30.
Yeah.
And once I set that, it's like a switch. I just keep stay with that, and there we are.
Yeah.
So that's one. But of course, like anything else, like we said about New Year's resolutions, you set that up, and then 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later, you turn around and go, oh, this is the reality
so this
of that resolution.
Happens.
So that's what that leads to.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I could not have predicted that that would lead to my kind of slower, stronger, further running fitness that I have.
Yes,
now.
Yeah.
Particularly as, you know, mileage, long runs weren't even kind of on the list.
Yeah.
But that's definitely the what's happened to the machine. And meanwhile, I thought, you know, people have dealt with where running intersects with fundraising and, you know, doing it for the community and whatever. People have dealt with that in lots of interesting ways, and there's some really good ones that are much more running centric than mine.
Right.
But I thought I'd do my book and split the profits with Parkinson's UK.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it was a really lovely, easy, clear decision. But then that journey, you know, becomes something.
Yes.
And I'm really enjoying writing. You know, my book's best part done now.
Right.
And part of the whole thing was trying to blackmail myself into sitting down to do it, to see if I could.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like you said, you got to have a story to tell. And the nature of my book is it's a lot of picaresque individual stories. So each time I go to write,
yeah,
I tell a story and I'm done.
Yeah. Nice.
Feel good for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But then it's got that nice thing of where you're planning to do something. You know what the shape of it is. You know what it's going to be.
But it's always a little
bit different.
But
when you do it, you find something.
Yeah, that's great.
Every one of these stories I'm telling, I don't actually know what these stories are going to be about.
Right.
Until I write them.
Yeah.
And then I find out.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's lovely. But it is that kind of sense of a...
Should go ahead.
Yeah, it's a deadline, isn't it, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though it's my own deadline.
Yeah.
So yesterday, I was saying this to my wife, actually. I've wanted to... I've just got a list of moments when I had a bit of an emotional moment listening to a song.
Yeah.
And one of them was at mile 25 of London Marathon.
Right.
Not last year when we were there, but the year before when it was hot.
Yeah.
And it's been on my list since before I decided I was going to do the book. But I wrote it yesterday. And I couldn't have done it before, I didn't realise, but I'd been kind of circling it, and it's a complicated one because I tell that story, but I kind of talk about everything that ever happened kind of on that spot.
Right.
With a kind of through line from when Dad was there when I first ran the London Marathon through to, and I realised some really interesting comparisons with the kind of highs I felt on my own in the sunshine with that song, and the highs we had the following year. Do you remember what it was like?
Of course.
To come out of Black Friars Tunnel.
That was amazing. Amazing.
Just go,
yeah.
And into that final push, push, push.
Head-shreddingly pleasurable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic, yeah.
Dragonfly. See that? Oh, it's got him! It's got him! If it's ever by my dragonfly. And yeah, so I wrote that yesterday.
Nice.
And felt great, you know. Really brought me up. And then I... went for a run, and in the heat,
yeah,
it's nice 10K,
nice,
and the music really came through. It was like I was the kind of music I've been writing about sort of came on, and
right.
And my headphones said, "Yes, see, this is how and why you enjoy running."
Yeah,
and I felt really special. It was really nice, and I actually had an inspiration for another part of the book, and I thought I'll go home and write that, and I still haven't because I didn't have time, but
that
I made some notes.
That's great.
And I came home and the music was so beautiful that the last song finished a little bit before I got home, so I stopped the music, took my headphones out, ran in, put them on the stairs, put my phone on top of them, snapped them, so yeah, no more music for me. But
so that almost sounds like the end of your book, though, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It almost sounds like somebody could use that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That synchronicity, that sort of...
Yeah, there was certainly a sense of finding something, some kind of conclusion there.
It sounds like you're still discovering it through the writing of it, which is perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you don't want to be just joining the dots when you're writing your book.
No.
You want to be held by the structure you've got, but you don't want to be a slave to it.
Exactly. You want to kind of trick yourself into thinking you're going to be joining the dots, so it's not too scary.
Yeah, you need to surprise yourself.
You need to surprise yourself.
Yeah.
It's like everything in the end, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the dots for a jazz musician, or the when a child draws a picture.
Yeah.
Or when we walk on stage at a comedy gig and we know what we're going to say, but we don't know what's going to happen. It's
yeah.
That's how play works.
Yeah.
That's how jazz works. You need a framework to work within, otherwise you can't even start.
And it's important to, thinking on my feet here, it's important to try and maintain that during lockdown if you're not up to much, because it's very easy to get caught in your daily rituals.
Yeah, yeah.
That can feel a bit imprisoning after a while.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to keep it elastic.
I mean, the food's really important, but it's just getting a bit dreary. Having the food, come back, you do the washing up, you sat at your... Say, what do we watch tonight? Kind of...
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You know?
You can end up repeating yourself.
It's like these days are sort of compressing in on themselves.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Which is why it's important every now and again to get really drunk. To mess with your rhythm.
That's not really the conclusion I
mess with your rhythm.
Well, it's the last night of Grayson's Art Club yesterday. Did you watch any of those?
I didn't, know, but I saw it was the last night, and I knew you'd be watching.
You should go back and watch. I'll have a look at least one.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's very It's really nice. It's interesting, actually, in terms of what we've been talking about, the way he talks to specifically comedians.
Right.
And funny people who have a genuine interest in art.
Right.
And he talks to them.
What people
he's just got that effortless shift from seriousness to silliness.
Right.
There's no distinction, you know.
Nice, nice.
And also...
people like Harry Hill and stuff.
Harry Hill.
Right.
There was Lisa Tarbuck yesterday. So she's not a comedian, but she's funny.
Yeah, she's really
and,
funny.
And Joe really. Lycett, who was being, you know, really smart and unashamedly serious yesterday.
Right. I'll have a look at
and,
that.
But that's the whole, you know, that's the grace in their dialogue. It's like he's talking about big things, little things,
yeah,
happy things, sad things, with the same kind of clear-eyed openness.
Yeah, he's got...
And talking specifically about how creativity is at the heart of this. It's really important for us. You know, and it's not just something for middle-class people to pick up again later.
No.
It's something to keep all of us...
Yeah, in the fabric
sane.
Of our lives.
Yeah, and keep that elasticity that you were just talking about between the framework.
Yeah.
You know, and if it does mean... And this is the thing, it can mean... I did an extensive art piece that involved mixed media and research.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in a gallery. Or it can be painting your house.
Yes.
You know, you need to get in that kind of...
Yeah.
Create something, do something, headspace.
Yeah.
In between the... Putting the food on the table and watching another Sherlock.
Yeah, and when you're running, it's breaking your rhythms, isn't it? Every now and again, it's just sprinting up a hill or stopping or just...
Yeah.
It's always worth it, you know.
And with running in particular, it's a real... And that's like jazz as well, isn't it? It's a real dialogue between the two. You want to have a rhythm, then push against it, then see the rhythm we had appearing within what you're doing in an organic way. Backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, you know.
Yeah.
I was seeing that early on with Grayson, just seeing it just absolutely effortless drift from doing what he was planning to do and following his nose to whatever's happening next.
He's got that classic sort of English liberal sensitivity where he's a context within which anything can happen.
Yes.
He's got that about him, which all good comics have as well.
Yes, and that sense within that art is a conversation.
Now, do you want to go on another one or what? Because you've already done seven.
I'll do another one.
Okay, cool.
I feel like we're just getting started, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's twice around the marshes. And
but you did three here, didn't you?
Yeah. I was going to borrow my wife's bike, but we've adjusted the saddle for my daughter.
Right.
This is supposed to be my taper week, but I don't really want it to be.
Well, you might as well.
I'm up for the miles.
I was quite inspired, outraged, threatened, disrupted, moved by old Susie Chan and Sophie Wayworth, as I'm sure others did as well, doing their 100-mile week last week.
Yeah, right.
For the Centurion 100-miler that I imagine was cancelled.
Yeah.
And they were doing 100 miles. It made me think, maybe I could 100 miles. What would that be like? Really tiring. Would I get injured? Can I have a cup of tea halfway around? It'd be hard work, doesn't it, when you're doing 100 miles?
It's just amazing that you're so in touch with your subconscious.
But what do you do?
I don't know if you know this, listener, but all Paul did just then was he just put a kind of old-fashioned ear trumpet up against his chest.
But what would you...
And the words just pour out.
Would you do, like, 40 miles one day and 40 the next and then just chill for a few days? What do you do?
You just count them. Someone else count them.
Or would you do 7.5 every morning, 7.5 every evening? How would you do it?
So you're going to do it? Do you want to do
it?
Would you
do it just 100 miles until someone stops you? I don't know. But I'm gonna.
You don't seem any closer to the answers.
I'm gonna reach out to Susie.
Look at this. I've got.
And see how she did it.
This is the H of the rugby post in front of the get a little extra help from the Halifax, because the vapor jars are back in the sky, and underneath those rugby posts, a confused Paul. See, anyone can make an artwork.
Yeah. So, because I mean, at the height of sub-3 training, I was doing the odd 80-mile week.
Yeah, I remember you doing a 90-mile week, but I remember it being a bit of a mistake. But
yeah.
Definitely you hit a line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, at the moment, the way my body feels, it starts to protest a bit anything approaching 50.
Yeah.
The question is it worth it to just get pig-headed enough to just bull yourself through 100, causing yourself irreparable damage? And it is quite tempting.
Yeah. And of course, it's a long game, you know. And when you said that, I kind of just pushed through. It reminded me of Sophie Raworth and her, you know, collapsing in the marathon and still finishing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, Susie's an ultra runner. But then, so Sophie now, you know, they've in the long game.
Yes.
They've really put the miles in.
Yeah.
And
but it's still hard work to do that in a 7-day.
And you have to be realistic because, like you say, it doesn't matter how fit you are and how you're going. You notice when you put the miles in the week.
Yeah.
Physically and time-wise, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the elasticity I've been talking about because I was so strict about 30.
Yeah.
And I can remember not so much the fitness, just stretching my time to be able to manage it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I did a bit longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it grows, your life grows to fit the thing you set.
I mean, I did 35 last week. I'll hopefully do about 40 this week. I might, if I stick a, you'd want a week with no professional obligations.
Yeah.
Tick. And
I've got a few of those. I've got a bunch of those.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you'd want a week where you didn't leave the house. Tick. And you can just have a little go. I might do. We'll see. I'll find out how it felt. I mean, those two will just run and then, while taking a selfie, just grinning away.
I'm going to say, their joy, the smiles on their faces, and the fact that that attitude doesn't seem to change whether it's mile one or mile 355, is downright misleading for the rest of us.
Yeah. I tend to get a bit tetchy around mile 98.
And also, sooner or later, we'll have to get Sophie's take on this because, you know, that must be, that's an angle on what we've been talking about. She's going into London and telling the world what's happening. You know what I mean? She's going through lockdown deserted London.
Yeah, she was taking really...
saying, here's what the Prime Minister said. You couldn't be closer to it.
Yeah, she was taking really... just great photos of deserted London a few weeks ago on her way into work. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, she's definitely running it off.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I went back out and did my fast run again on Saturday.
Oh, right, your 5K?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went pretty well. Back to sort of the speed realm I want to be in.
Yeah.
I played it a little bit complicatedly. 2 weeks before that, I was out there feeling a little bit too... I think we talked about it. I was a little bit too present.
Right.
Couldn't really... unlock. I feel my head going, so you have to run faster, right? All the way. Yeah. Running fast, am I? And it was really irritating. And then a week after that, that terrible hangover was the first one I've missed all year.
Right.
Including actual park runs. And so this week, I thought, I can't miss another one because I'll lose my rhythm, you know. But the cheeky bit is, I just didn't worry too much that I was going to be pretty hungover.
Yeah.
Not biblical hungover like the week before. I just wasn't too careful the day before, and that was semi-deliberate.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to just go out
just
and
chill,
go,
just chill with it. Yeah.
And then do the run. Because let's face it, dear listener, we've all done park runs like that.
Yes.
And that helped. And of course, I realised something really simple about not wanting to do it and not liking it the week before. I never want to do it.
Yeah.
I never like it.
No, when you wake up on a Saturday morning, I never feel, wow, I'm really looking forward to this park run.
Yeah.
It's just a decision at that moment as to whether or not you get out of bed.
It's a funny old thing, because I generally do look forward to and enjoy my runs. But that fast 5K is kind of a homework.
Oh, that's... I can't imagine doing that on my own. I'd find that really tough.
Yeah.
I must say.
So, I enjoyed it, but again... I never get out at 9. It's always more like 10, 11. And I've found that my runs have shifted, not deliberately, to this weird thing where I do really high mileage Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
Then kind of have a unplanned couple of days off.
Yeah.
And then do this fast 5 on a Saturday.
That's a nice one.
So my actual day off is Sunday. Yeah, I don't know. I think what I'm going to do is... pull the 5K forward to Friday.
Right.
And start trying to live my weekends as weekends.
Right.
And my weeks as... because all the other exercises fit in. You know, I do loads all the time. I'm just sort of slightly limping in at the end of the week and accidentally splitting my days off with my exercise days.
Right.
I need to commit to one then the other. What I'm saying is, Monday to Friday, exercise machine.
And then
Friday to Sunday,
chill out a little bit.
Morning magpie. Lose the ability to perform, speak, interact.
Yeah, just get a normal structure like the majority of the societies live their lives, basically.
What?
Monday to Friday, innit?
Oh, would that work then?
Monday to Friday.
Would somebody tell me when to stop?
Yeah.
Do I get to have a cup of tea?
Monday.
Why am I northern? So, I think that when we came around the topic before, I started off saying how that sense of a deadline.
Yeah.
But I really went off. But that's basically it, you know, between the training and the writing. It's been a story of creating one's own deadlines and seeing what that feels like.
Yeah.
And whatever happens next, that'll be the change.
Yeah.
I mean, I really want to carry on writing once this book's written.
And there's no reason not to, is there, really?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because getting started is always the problem with creativity and exercise. I love this pair of shoes on the bottom of the pylon. Did you see
right.
that?
Yeah.
It's another photo opportunity. Yeah. Try and get it. In fact, there's some on this side and some on that side. It's down that 5G. Wow, look at that. That's a great photo. If I say so myself.
Very nice, yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, this is something we talked about. I want to talk about again.
Go on, then.
I love Midnight Run.
Great film.
I think listening hasn't seen it, I think it's a running commentary recommends.
It is, yeah. It really
if nothing
is.
Else, it's not just that it's good, it's also that it's kind of its time, and really in many ways it is a film about us.
Yeah. No, that's a great movie. I've watched a lot of films. Things we've learnt. I really like rom-coms.
Yes.
I've watched loads of that.
The best rom-com?
Pardon?
What do you think is the best rom-com?
Yeah.
Or the quintessential rom-com rather than the best.
It's hard to say. There's so many, isn't there? There's
I used to slightly resent When Harry Met Sally because I felt, despite its absolute perfection, I felt like it couldn't exist without Annie Hall coming first.
Yes, he's very haunted by Annie Hall, isn't he?
But now, I think, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally, you know, I understand I'm a little bit more relaxed about the through line of creativity and influence and so on. You know.
Yeah, she just looks like Diane Keaton in a lot of that film, doesn't she?
Yeah, and it just feels like a kind of polished up,
Woody Allen,
sharpened up take on the same story.
But great, but really good.
That's perfect. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. Now, I really don't. It was only when it came out I thought that, and that was a fairly gauche, immature attitude to originality, and also a very 1980s attitude to Woody Allen himself.
No, it's when Harry Met Sally's got to be up there.
Yeah.
I liked Notebook, which I haven't really seen. I know that's not one of the best of the best, but I really liked it.
Yeah, Julie was saying about it. I haven't seen it, so I should see that.
Yeah, Notebook's
on the list. I haven't got to see a film for about a week.
Really?
Which, I know. Well, no, that's not true. I was watching Midnight Run, but the reason I was watching Midnight Run is because I'm always watching a film in dribs and drabs on Netflix while I do my exercises.
Right.
And thank goodness, I don't know how I would have got by, because we introduced the kids to Sherlock.
Right.
And now they want to watch them all.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And each one of them is a film.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I've never really seen Sherlock.
I think it's great in some ways. It's a really interesting lesson in adaptation. In fact, if we're going to take this sense of improvisation versus framework as a sense of play, as a theme for today, and I am Paul.
Go on then, take it.
I'm going to take it and run with it.
Take that theme.
The way in which they adapt the old books to make the contemporary or contemporary when they made TV programs is just great. The sheer love for an understanding of the original material, and yet the glee with which they shake it up, chuck things out, keep other things, flip them backwards, keep them exactly as they are,
yeah,
you know, gender reverse them,
right.
Or whatever, you know what I mean? They just play with it. That is how to adapt something.
Yeah.
You know when people say, I suddenly remembered the other day, it's a funny thing to think now, but when Trainspotting came out,
yeah,
people say, oh, it's different to the book though.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
It's a film.
Yeah.
Did the film love the book?
Yeah, that's
the question you've got to ask yourself.
That's the only question, isn't
it? Not was it the same.
Yeah.
Because we've all seen those totally inert book adaptations where...
Dreary.
It just doesn't take, does it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Shipping News with Kevin Spacey and Judi Dench.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow. So...
I would say...
So you're going to run 100 miles and I'm going to watch The Notebook.
Yeah.
I like the schedule. Sorry, you said I would say.
No, I would say you haven't seen Knocked Up, have you?
I've seen it loads of times.
Right.
I don't like it.
See, I like that film.
Do you know what I don't like about it? And I watched The 40-Year-Old Virgin the other day again.
Yeah.
Which I do like a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More than... Generally, I think when you watch it more than you would expect to, because... Obviously, it's pretty crass. It's supposed to be.
It's very funny, though.
But it's got such a good heart, you know?
Yeah.
Steve Carell and Catherine Keener really anchor it in a kind of humanity.
Yeah.
But still, I just wish there was one guy who didn't need to learn anything.
Right.
You know, they're just all so stunted. All of them. And in Knocked Up, you know, there's just no... In the Judd Apatow universe,
yeah,
I know it's sort of maybe it's to create jeopardy and to make a film. I'd just like to see one well-adjusted bloke with a good attitude to women right at the beginning. One of them.
There is, though. Yeah. There's that guy who's very sympathetic to the protagonist's sister and talks about... Labour and there is a soft guy
in
the middle.
Up.
Yeah,
yeah.
There is a soft guy.
Well, there isn't one in the 40-Year-Old Virgin, and I've got no time for the Seth Rogen character in Knocked Up. He's horrible. Why does he not get it? Yeah. I just find the thing a little bit.
He changes though, doesn't
Boise.
He? I like it. I think it's hilarious. He does change though, doesn't he, during the film?
Yeah.
He grows. There's got to be growth. You've got to. There's no room for growth if you've grown already, have you, in that sort of movie?
I always wanted to like it, and I've seen it about 3 times. So maybe I'm just being a big old square.
No.
Well, there is always that risk with
me. Yeah, I always like films that end with a kid getting born.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great in Parenthood. That's all you need, really.
It's great in Parenthood where you don't know whose it is.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. What, Parenthood?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Parenthood's amazing.
That's one of your favourites, isn't it? Quite right, too.
Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I just finished in the episode of this sitcom I've been writing, it just ends with a birth.
Nice.
It's just a complete no-brainer, isn't it? Yeah. If you're looking to try and get it commissioned.
Yes.
Episode 2, birth. Yeah. It's nice. Going heavy, but let's really squeeze it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's go in large,
do you know what,
all guns
absolutely
blazing.
Absolutely, a great thing to do with a sitcom. Do you know what sitcom writers are absolutely superb on Pregnancy and Birth? Friends.
Right.
So much good pregnancy and birth comedy there.
Right.
When Rachel's in labour for ages, and they say, he says, how far am I dilated? He says, Is it 3 inches? He said, must be, it's from America, 3 inches.
Yeah.
And Ross says, 3 inches? I'm dilated 3 inches! But there was one in Sex and the City last night, because Charlotte was really cross with her dog, Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth Taylor was pregnant, and Charlotte can't get pregnant. And but then Elizabeth Taylor went into labour, and Charlotte got over all her dudgeon and said, Mummy's coming!
Yeah.
It's a very camp show, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I used to watch Sex and the City all the time with Rachel. We used to love it.
Yeah, it's good.
Very funny.
It's smart, you know.
Very well
written.
It's
silly and light, but it's grown up. And
yeah.
And the basic thing I love about it is that Carrie Bradshaw, the relationship writer, never has a good one. Yeah. So talk about that tension we're talking about when you're writing. Her entire love life is a wrestle.
Yes.
And it's endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's also got a thing for old blokes.
Yeah.
That's different. I don't know quite what to do with that. But
no, just a nice range of characters. And the idea that they all really didn't like each other only adds to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also being fussy. You're talking about adaptations and, you know, did they love it? Of course, it goes without saying with Sex and the City that the films are non-canon.
Yeah.
And I won't watch them.
Yeah, the films aren't so good. So we're coming to the end of the old three-lapper.
How do you feel about the running?
I'm really enjoying it.
I feel really good.
I feel in quite a sort of... I just feel solidly quite fit.
Yeah.
I'm sort of like... Look, my legs are starting to take shape.
Yeah.
And I'm losing... Well, I was going to say I'm losing weight. I'm actually not. I'm actually not losing much weight.
But are you putting on weight? Are you steady?
I'm not putting on, no. I'm just sort of... I'm holding.
I'm holding, and that's really unusual for me. It's taken literally years
right. For
me to get to the point where I weigh the same thing week in, week out.
Yeah.
Years and a lot of really boring rules and activities. Yeah. Jared Christmas keeps saying, and his wife is saying, let's meet up and have cocktails. And whenever we catch up with him online, it's always... late at night, because we do it after the kids are gone to bed. And I have to say, we can't have cocktails because Julia and I stop taking food and liquid at around 10 p.m. I despise myself some days.
How is Mr. Christmas?
Yeah, good.
How's he coping? Do you think we'll tempt him back?
Well, Father Christmas or Jared Christmas?
Well, I know Jared Christmas is in touch with Father Christmas.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
I think that they would... I think there'll be a lot of North Pole action. I don't know how much fitness Father Christmas is maintaining.
This during lockdown.
But equally, I think that's always quite fun for us, isn't it?
But he's going to have a really busy Christmas, isn't he? If you think how much people are sort of ordering now, if you think how busy the delivery guys are now, and on Christmas it's all on Santa, that's going to be massive.
Although someone said the other day, you know, as all the shops reopen, remember... how well you did
without the
without
stuff.
Anything. Hey.
Although people do seem to be a lot of ordering going on. I mean, I never buy clothes anyway.
Yeah,
because I just get them given to me.
Well, I say we redid the mortgage, and we were talking about the finance people wanted to get the monthly expenditure, and we worked out how much we spend a year on clothes for the whole family.
Right,
and it's hardly anything. Not just in lockdown, but in life, and it's partly. It sounds all sort of like. You know, righteous and ascetic, but we're also just fussy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, you go into shops, it's all rubbish. You order stuff online, it comes, it doesn't fit. You end up, once you don't shop, you end up knowing exactly what you want and then taking a year and a half at a time to find it.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter gets a steady stream of... She had our Amazon account, we put a stop to that. She just constant deliveries.
Oh, my daughter, she sorted out PayPal so she could do a Depop.
Right. Yeah, yeah, my daughter did Depop, yeah.
And she sold the first item of clothing. She was so pleased on the first day. And that person said it's too small and sent it back. God.
Maladel Rudy got his first paid gig dancing the other
day. By the way, someone said after the discussion about Rudy and David, it was I think it was Jason Lamont said, Team Rudy all the way.
Well, he got his first gig dancing the other day. Someone got in touch with him on Instagram and got him down to be in this video, and he made some money out of it. So that was a big day for him.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it was massive. Yeah, that's 17, brilliant. First bit of wedge. That was great. So this nice run, man. Really nice.
I'm just going to see if my top is still in the cherry tree.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for being... Paul's not said a word about my torso, which is really kind.
It's beyond words, your torso. It's beyond verbal description.
Yes, my top is still here.
Wow, I didn't believe you left it there. Wow, incredible.
Yeah. Oh, I should have got a picture of it in the tree. I had this top hanging up in this... Look, the cherries are coming in on this cherry tree.
Oh, little black top hanging in the tree. Daylight come.
You must be very proud.
Come home.
So, well, it's been lovely. We've really talked about stuff.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how little talking we get to do the rest of the week. And someone's had a barbecue here, I think.
Yeah, there's been lots of barbecue.
Talking of Sherlock, I'm going to do a little bit of deduction and say somebody might have had a barbecue on Hackney Marshes here. My clue, can you see
there's
it?
There's been a bit
Look
of
Look at it, Watson. Yeah. What do you see?
I think that's one of those disposable barbecues, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's
I want to put my
oblong of completely burnt ground.
Yeah. There's been a lot of that going on, aren't there? But there's not as many people as I thought there would be.
No, actually. I was wrong. You're right. There's the I think, like you say, people have gone back to work.
People
or stayed
going,
home.
People are starting to go back to
ultimately,
work.
Ultimately,
which is great.
In life, people either go to work or stay home, don't they?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
only
yeah.
really in the lockdown when, like a pressure cooker, if you say you can go out a bit, then people go onto the beach in Dorset.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a very
yeah.
specific lockdown result.
Yeah. There's schools are opening a little bit, some more people are going back. No, it's good.
In Dorset, I'd heartily recommend it.
And tracks are open now. A coach can coach five runners on the track, so that's good. But it'll be a long time before they come down the A group and the B group to me at the bottom of the B group before I'm allowed. There'll be a graded return before they'll let us, the slow types, back.
Between,
unfair, really.
Between
we're
where
the
we're
ones
at with the running and where we're at with the comedy, yeah. let's, you know, the,
it's like, ground
we
zero.
Should write a book. Never mind our book about park runs. That's going to have to wait for yeah, obvious yeah. reasons. We're going to write a book now called Last Out of the Lockdown.
The people who need the speed work most can't get it. It's one of life's rich ironies.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.